Well, I hope y'all had a good Independence Day, 4th of July.
Amen.
At least I know the ones in here didn't go to jail, so we're good there. We might have some in jail because we're kind of thin. We get them out later. So look, I need y'all to pray for my cousin. You know, everybody got this one in the family that you got to pray for all the time. So he called me the other day and said he ran across this article that he read that disturbed him. And I was like, well, what would the article say? He said it says that most accidents happen within 20 miles of your house. But he said, I took care of that problem. I said, oh, yeah? I said, what'd you do? He said, I sold my house and I moved. So he thought.
Oh,
yeah, y'all pray for him. Proverbs chapter 3. You know, I love it when it happens more often than not, and it just shows God's divine and how much he's in control of everything. And me and Brother Charlie have that a lot. His Sunday school lessons coincide a lot of times. I don't know what his Sunday school lessons are. God does. And if he sees fit to tie them together, that's fine. But in Jennifer, the song she just sang, I believe it kind of goes in talking about giving America back to God. We're going to talk about today, who's in control? Who is in control? That's a loaded question, so don't answer it yet. Don't tell on yourself. Wives, I know you think you can control your husbands, and you probably are on the most part. Y'all can laugh. I think that's funny. But the women not laughing because they say, well, we are. I'm going to shut up before I get in trouble. All right. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. A lot of y'all familiar with this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct the paths. I want you to look at that. We're going to break that down. There's so much in just those few words that we can do a sermon on each section of it probably. First of all, trust. But who's in control? We're going to talk about that. Y'all know the easy answer to that is God and stuff. But let me ask you this question. Let me turn it back on you. Are you letting God be in control of your life?
Come on.
On every aspect of your life? Are you letting God really be in control, or are you just saying that? You know my favorite word. Are you playing church, or are you playing like, oh, God's in control? Is he? Because I beg to differ, because I see things. I see things. And I'm not preaching to y'all, it's me too. I see things that people let consume them because they want to be in control. And we're going to talk about a control that not like a forceful deal, but we'll break it down. But who's in control? One of the greatest struggles in life is the desire for control. It's built in us. It's our human nature. We want to take charge. Men, y'all want to take charge. We want to take charge of things, run things. We want to be in control of our future, our finances, and I'm just throwing some examples out there. We want to be in control of our families, our relationships, our health. Any of y'all do that stuff that's supposed to make you live to be 115? I would say some of y'all are getting close, but I better not say that out loud. Are we in control? Do we try to be in control of other people's opinions? I'm going to break these down here in a minute. We're going to get deep into it here. Even God's timing. Or do we want to be in control of God's timing? The easy answer is no, we don't, right? But we do. And so let's do it. You know, I want to do it when. God, I will do that. But I got to go do this first. I want to do this first. So we're going to talk about all that. Life has a way of reminding us that we are not in control. You ever had your plans changed? Brother Joe in the back, he always told me, ever since I can remember, Brother Joe in the back, he said, you're one phone call away from a life-changing event. One phone call can change your whole day, your outcome. And all y'all probably, well, not probably, all y'all experienced sometime in your life, some kind, it might not have been a horrible thing necessarily, but what you thought you was going to do that day, you didn't do that day because something else intervened. Okay? Storms come unexpectedly. People disappoint us. I know it's hard to believe. But people are going to let you down.
Amen.
Okay? Plans fail. Doors close. You ever had a door shut in your face? Prayers seem delayed. How about that one? When things slip out of our hands, when we lose control, and I say that loosely, when we lose control of things, that's when fear, anxiety, frustration, and anger sometimes shows up. You ever experienced that? I'm sure everybody here at some point has been anxious about something. Somebody might be anxious right now about something. You might be thinking already, all the things I have to do next week. You ever been frustrated? You ever been angry? Many people are exhausted because of those things, because they're trying to carry responsibilities that belong to God. Yesterday in the men's breakfast, and I'm going to touch on a little bit of something yesterday in the men's breakfast, we talked about that victory in Christ that we have. Victory in Christ. We already have that victory in Christ because He done it for us. And we're going to talk about that victory. We're going to tie that into this control deal. If He's in control, if we have victory, why are we worried about all this stuff? Why? You ever thought about that? You're insulting God. We are insulting God when we take the trust out of Him. We lose our trust in Him. He already got it. He already got it controlled. Whatever happens. I think it was Brother Charlie yesterday. He made a comment. And so, I'm still here. He's still here. I'm still here. We all had something happen, but we're still here. God is, by His grace,
Amen.
Got us through it. We're going to learn about surrender and control and trust the one who truly holds things together. That's our goal when we get there in a minute. Control is an illusion without God. Now, let me back up a minute. I talked about who's in control, our future, our finances, all that. Now, He holds us responsible. He gives us things to be responsible for. They don't mean that, okay, I ain't going to worry about working tomorrow. I paid the bills to take care of yourself. No, He wants you to do something, okay? He wants you to do something. But He wants you to do it through Him. That's what you need to realize, through Him. Not, yeah, we're all capable right now, most right in here are capable of getting up and going out there and do something, work. But He wants that relationship where you share those intimate things with Him and check with His plan. This morning, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you have in plan? This is what I want to do, but does it coincide with what you want me to do? Amen. Do we do that every day?
Right.
Do we? I can venture to say no on a lot of people. And I've been guilty of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm already thinking about Monday. I'm going to go do this. I'm just talking generally speaking here. Control is an illusion without God. I lost my spot for a minute. I'm catching up. And I'm going to go through a little bit of extra scripture here. James tells us, for you ought to say, this is what you should, James is writing this, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. Did you do that? That's kind of what we talked about. That's what you ought. That's what you ought to say. That's what you ought to approach things. We make plans every day, and there's nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong with that. If God is in that plan, included in that plan. Next year, I'll do this. I'll be successful. I'll fix everything. I'll make it happen. Notice the common denominator there? I. There you go, I. I do this, I do this, I do that. But James reminds us in his scripture there that life itself is fragile. Next year I'll do this. I could use that example. You might not even be here tomorrow, much less next year. And there's no control over that with you. Give it to God. You can have money and still lose peace. You can have influence and still feel empty. We're talking about being successful and I fix everything. You can organize everything and still face uncertainty. Why? Let me give you insight. Because human control has its limits. You know, you can organize everything you want to put on paper or itineraries and schedules and meetings and all that. And God may allow it, but not every time. Like we said earlier at the beginning, we all been interfered with our plans before by something. Only God sees tomorrow clearly. Only God. Isaiah tells us, I am God, declaring the end from the beginning. God never panics. God never reacts, because he's in complete control. We don't have to react. He's got it all under control. He had it under control way back yonder and way up ahead. And right now, he's everywhere at once. He got it under control. God never says, I didn't see that coming. How many times y'all said that before? I didn't see that coming. Yeah. God's never said that. He don't have to. Because whatever's coming in our lives, he's in control of already. The desire for control often comes from fear. We'll talk about that. Many people try to control everything because deep down they are afraid. What are we afraid of? Let me explain it to you. Just think about this. Let's sink in. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of loss. How about this one? Or fear of being hurt again. Fear of being hurt again. Control becomes a defense mechanism. If I take control of it, this won't happen. If I let him or her do it, I don't know what might happen. So I want to be in control of it. You ever seen people like that want to run everything? We need people to take charge. Don't take it that way. To run things, take care of things. But are they taking charge and running things for the right reasons? Because God put them in that place. Not because you can't do it like I want to do it, so I'm going to do it for you. It's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to do. Believe it or not, I don't know if you ever dealt with this or not, there are more than one way to do things. Right? Not just your way. And that's a hard thing to deal with sometimes. For God, the 2 Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You know, in order for this to work, what we're talking about, you're going to have to absorb these scriptures. You're going to have to live this thing. You've got to be Christ-like. Need to let all this in. He didn't design us to be fearful if we have him, but powerful. A sound mind trusts God even when circumstances are uncertain. here's a big word we need to work on. Faith. Faith says, God, I don't understand everything, but I trust you. Just like at the beginning in Proverbs, trust in the Lord. That's where it starts. Trust. I don't have the big picture like you do, Lord. That don't make sense to me, Lord, what we're doing. But because you told me to, I'm going to do it. That's the attitude we need to have. And we're going to talk a little bit here at the end about a victorious attitude. Because we're victory. Like I said at the beginning, we are, the war is already won. We got to live victorious. We need to enjoy that victorious life. I think somebody said it a couple weeks ago. It might have been me. I don't know. The day you accept Christ, that's when your eternity started. The eternal walk with Christ. And whatever long that path is from here on this earth to there, then right on into heaven with him, it gets more better. All the time. Jesus is a perfect example of surrender. Giving up that control. Father, this is Luke. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Be done. You think about that. He's about to be crucified. He's in the human flesh. He's going through a hard time, to say loosely. When we go through hard times, are we praying, God, take this away from me, fix this? We need to do that, but we need to add that extra part to it, if it's your will. That wasn't God's will for him not to hang on the cross. And thank God it wasn't for us. That's what our victory comes from. Whatever you're going through, or whatever you've been through, or going to go through, trust in the Lord and see why he has you where you at that moment. He's going to get you through it one way or the other. Maybe he's just seeing how you're going to handle it. You know, part of being a Christian, we talk about being Christ-like a lot, and we should be Christ-like. A lot of that, a lot of your testimony is people watching on how you handle bad situations. How do you handle those? You gonna throw your hands up and give up and or whatever? Or are you gonna trust the Lord, stick with him through the whole thing? That's what he's looking for. And if we're gonna win people to Christ, which is what we're called to do, to lead people to Christ, spread the word, spread the gospel, then we need to be Christ-like. That's the attitude we got to have. That time of Jesus, he faced pain, betrayal, and the cross. Yet, he surrendered control to the Father. Bad things still happened to him. But he was in the Father's will. You may pray to get you out of a situation or a health problem, and he may or may not. But are you trusting his will? Okay, Lord, if you don't pull me through it, that's what you want. That's what we got to do. That's what Jesus done. The difference between Jesus and us in that situation, Jesus had the power to stop the process. He could have stopped it. But he chose surrender over self-will. He gave up that. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes we think surrender means weakness, but biblical surrender is strength under God's authority. Jesus teaches us that peace comes from not controlling everything, but from trusting the Father completely. Trusting him completely. Let that control go. The control I'm talking about is the control that is holding you back from your relationship with Christ. Amen. Look, everybody in here at some point is going to move on and go to heaven if you're a Christian. 50 years from now, if it's that long, if the world's still here, they ain't gonna remember or care who John Pierce was. You put your name in that. Let that control go. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean anything here on this earth. Nothing. Give it to God. What matters is what you're building up for eternity. Trying to control others leads to frustration. One of the hardest truths to accept is this: you cannot control other people. At the end of the day, like on everything, people have choice. I can tell Billy out here, hey, you need to do this. He can go tell me to throw rocks. I'm gonna do this. You don't have control over people like you think you do. You cannot force people, to give you some examples, love you or change. You ever try to change somebody? Can't do it. Grow. Stay local. Make wise decisions. Now, I know everybody in here never made a bad decision in your life. Y'all good, right? Okay. Even God gives people free will. He gives us free will. And sometimes we mess it up. Many relationships become toxic because of someone is trying to dominate rather than trust God. Now, my kids, y'all close your ears. That don't apply to y'all. No, just kidding. My kids are grown, so they can. End of the day, they gotta make their own choices. Well. I didn't know I had it written down. Listen to this. Parents try to control their adult children. It's hard to let it go. And then when they have children, two of mine do, so they understand now what I'll go through. But you got to let them go. You got to let that control go and let them make their own way. All right, y'all listen to this one now. I'm the messenger. Don't be mad at me. Spouses try to control each other. And I joke about the women, but it works both ways. It works both ways. Don't forget how God designed you as one. I'm in charge. All right, let's move on. Leaders try to manipulate people. You ever seen that? We see it today. A lot. Control is not the same as influence. So get rid of the control. We should be influencing each other, other people, our adult children. We should be influencing them, not controlling. Romans tells us if it is possible, as much as in you, live peacefully with all men. That's everybody. You are responsible for obedience to God. That's what you're responsible for. You do your part and your obedience to God. And that's control you need to take control of. You need to control yourself to obey God. And then let the rest of it work its way. Not controlling everyone else's choices. God uses situations beyond our control to grow our faith. Let me give you examples here. God allows situations we cannot fix, but He can. Just think about Moses at the Red Sea. They ran into a dead end, humanly speaking. He parted the sea. Daniel's in the lion's den. God closed the mouth of the lion. Paul in prison. We're studying Paul right now in Bible study. In the worst places you could be, in his case, prison, he wrote at least four of the books in the New Testament. If he hadn't been there, probably wouldn't have got those. But God can use you wherever you're at. In those situations I just told you about, none of them were in control. But guess who was? God. God was. Some of y'all can probably give a testimony on something God got you through that's impossible from a human point of view. But he can. He's not limited. The Red Sea looked impossible until God opened it. The prison looked permanent for Paul until God sent deliverance. Your lack of control is often the place where God reveals his power. That laundry list of stuff I told you about, our future, our frustration, and all that stuff. So here's where peace comes through surrender. Philippians tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Trust in the Lord. Give it to him. Let the control go. Kind of rhymes, don't it? Let the control go. And get that true peace that you can only get through God. That's it. No other way. The Bible teaches us not to carry anxiety alone. When you get anxiety or you get loaded down with worry, you're not by yourself. God knows you go through those things. Give it to him. He's waiting. How are you going to respond? Are you going to just have a self-pity party? And waller in it. Is that a word? Waller. Or are you going to give it to God? He didn't say you're not going to have any scars from it. I mean, he didn't say that. But he will get you through it. Prayer is the act of transferring control to God. That communication with him. Give it to him. Every time you pray sincerely. Knows that? Sincerely. Pray, you are saying, God, I trust you more than I trust myself. That's sincere prayer. God gives peace that surpasses all understanding. Back in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct the paths. What Proverbs said. Again, God gives peace not that surpasses all understanding. Not because everything changed immediately, but because your trust shifted to the one in control. That transfer of getting that burden off of you to him. You remember Peter walking on water with Christ? God allowed him to. It said Peter walked on water until what? He focused on the storm. Everything's going good with you, with God, your relationship, until a storm hits sometimes. Be prepared for little storms and don't take your eyes off of him. Be like Peter. Don't sink. When things are going good, it's easy to follow God. Hypothetically speaking. But don't take your eyes off of him when storms come. Peter stepped out of the boat in faith. He did the right things up till he sunk. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked above the storm. But when he focused on the wind and waves, fear took over. That fear, you let that fear come in from whatever you got going on. Then that's a sort of a separation between you and God. Get rid of it. We sink when we focus more on the storm than the Savior. You know, there's a difference between worry and concern. Right? We all human. We ain't robots. I'm sorry. I'm working on my English. We're not robots. We can have concern. We can have worries to the concern point. not to the point where it overwhelms you and bogs you down. Let that control go. That's a lot of control. And the reason I did control was the sermon was over worry eventually at one point. Then I dug into it. The more you try to control, the more worries you have. Just let it go. If it blows up, because you didn't, okay, I'm going to turn this over, I'm not going to mess with it. If it blows up, you ain't going to worry about it no more. I don't know if that's a good way to put it or not, but, man, and you move on to the next deal. The enemy, that's Satan if you don't know, wants your attention on problems, fear, delay, confusion, and bad reports. He throws all these darts at you, trying to sidebar you, trying to distract you from your focus on God, your walk with Him. He does that. He tries to deter you from it. But faith keeps looking at Jesus. You know, you need to get in this, look at it, not the dust off when you get home, and start reading some of this in the Bible. Get to Galatians or Ephesians, either one. Get in there, the armor of God. And we might preach on that one day. I think we already did. But the armor of God. And when Satan does do these attacks, these attempts, as God gave us a owner's manual on how to get out of all this stuff. And by the way, God's control is much better than yours. Jeremiah says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Sometimes God says no because His plan is better. Don't get discouraged when you don't get your way that you think it should be. God knows better. And we just need to trust His plan. Closed doors, we talked about that earlier, can protect you. Delays can prepare you. Waiting seasons can mature you. What you call interruption, God may call direction. Remember, His ways ain't a whole lot better than ours. Lean not on your own understanding. I keep putting emphasis on that. Put it on God's. What you call interruption, God calls directions. We must learn to trust God's process even when we cannot trace His hand. Surrender is not one-time event. Johnny, I get to say my favorite word. I said it daily. It's not a one-time event. You don't surrender to God one time. I'm a Christian. I got fire insurance. I'm good to go. It don't work that way. Daily surrender to Him. You worry about today. Let's get through the day first. Okay? Give it to God. Let's get through the day. And in the morning, start over again. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? How to do it? I need to do this. I got this problem. I got this going on. What do you want me to do? That's Monday. Tuesday, do the same thing. Every day. Every morning we choose, and we make choices every day. I'll put these up. You're either going to trust or fear. You're going to trust God, or you're going to let the worries of the world bog you down. We're going to have faith or worry. Or we're going to surrender, or are we going to control? Choose surrender over control. Real faith says, "Lord, I place my family in your hands. I place my future in your hands. I place my heart, my health in your hands. I place my pain in your hands." I said that same list a while ago without the will of God in it. And we get in trouble when we put the I in there, right? when I do this, I do that. But if you say, I place my future in your hands, there's a difference. That makes a world of difference, literally. Control is one of the hardest things to release. But when we finally let go, we discover something powerful. God handles our lives better than we do. He sees what we cannot see. He knows what we do not know. He prepares blessings we could never arrange ourselves. All right, this is the last scripture I'm going to give you. Psalms 46:10. You pay attention to this one. Be still. You know what that means? It means don't be frantically, can you say, running around trying to solve all these problems, trying to get the dishes washed, or whatever you're... Be still first. Focus on God. Have that intimate time with Him. And then go wash the dishes. You know, whatever you're going to do. And I'll just throw that there. An example. He prepares blessings we could never arrange ourselves. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is simply being still and trusting God. Just be still and trust God. It don't take a long time. Just a couple of minutes does a world of difference. Just be still. Let Him take over. And like I told the men's group yesterday, I love to close with questions. Because questions reveals a lot about yourself to God. And self-examination. Y'all can come on. I'm about done. What am I trying to control that I need to surrender to God? Everybody in here probably got something you need to surrender to God. What are you right now? What's the main thing you're trying to control and you need to give it to God? What fear is driving you? What fear is driving my need for control? What fear are you worried about that you're trying to control it and fix it yourself? Get rid of it. Give it to God. That's easier said than done. Give it to God, and you'll see what He can do with it. And am I trusting God completely? Completely. That's 100%. That's batting 1,000. That's baseball term. Poker term. All in. Whatever analogy you want to use. Give it all to God completely. Today, God is calling us to release worry, fear, anxiety, and self-reliance. Because when God is in control, we can rest. Give it to God. If you don't have Christ, now's your opportunity. We're going to play a song of invitation. If you need to come down here on these altars and get rid of whatever junk is that you need to get rid of, come down here and do it. Need to accept Christ, just simply come up here or do it where you're standing. The Holy Spirit can work anywhere in here. You do what you need to do. Don't leave this building today without getting rid of your junk and focus on Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank You so much for this opportunity to be here in Your house, Lord, and just open our minds and just let this absorb and stick, Lord. Just let us, give us the strength and the power that we need to do this daily walk with You. Just thank You for the Independence Day, Lord, and just thank You for the country we live in and the opportunities that we have, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.